Well, as James mentioned, we are turning to the book of Proverbs this morning. Book of Proverbs, a wonderful book given to us right in the middle of our Bibles, paving for us the way of life. And as you turn to Proverbs, let me just comment Proverbs 31 chapters. The goal of this sermon series, at least from the outset, is to really ponder the first nine chapters, opening addresses from Solomon, addressed to a son. And we'll consider likely the first nine chapters, take a break, and then perhaps later pick up the final 22. As we would come to Proverbs 1 through 9, we could see it perhaps the way you might see a conference, a Christian conference perhaps you would attend, and perhaps the conference would be titled The Pathway of Wisdom. The Pathway of Wisdom. Proverbs 1 through 9 represents inspired wisdom, inspired sermons from a father to a son, but really wisdom that goes to the whole of the church. And today we want to introduce this pathway of wisdom the way Solomon introduces the pathway of wisdom, and that's found in the first seven verses. So I will read from Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Note that many of the translations, as we go through Proverbs and look at particular words, vary. I will be reading from the ESV, and you may as well be assisted to follow along from the ESV. So let's read Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. This is indeed the Word of God. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instruction and wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Let's pray. Lord, we do not want to despise wisdom and instruction. So grant to us your Spirit, we pray, in the preaching of the Word. Grant to me the strength to preach the Word, and grant all of our ears the strength to indeed hear and to know and to apply your Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I said that I loved the wise proverb, brief, simple, and deep. For it, I'd exchange the great poem that sends us to sleep. These words of an old Victorian poet reveal a reality that remains in all generations. We all love a wise proverb. We all love a word that could speak a word of clear and direct truth, and preferably that it would fit on our coffee mug. I found just a personal tip that if you want to gain credibility in a conversation, one quick way to do it is begin by saying, well, as the ancient proverb says, or as this or that proverb has always said, people love a word of wisdom. And what does it reveal about us? What does it reveal about you and me that we love a quick and short word of wisdom? Well, there could be 100 or so answers to that question, but perhaps one would be this. We all know we need assistance. We need clear assistance, clear guidance to walk us through the difficult path of life that confronts us. And as we need that assistance, and as we need that longing, we come to a fascinating place to find it. A book of the Bible written almost 3,000 years ago. A book of Proverbs. And this book, these Proverbs, more, as one commentator puts it, artistic instructions than humorous catchphrases, these artistic instructions are a guide. An artistic instruction of the way of life, a perspective that will shock us, confront us, mold us, shape us, and transform us. And they will move us past the trivial, move us past the coffee mug to the pathway of life itself. Perhaps a theme verse of Proverbs, Proverbs 3:18, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until full day. Who wouldn't want to be on that path? That path that shines brighter and brighter. And if we want to be found on that path, we need to listen to the words of this book, and we'll listen as Solomon really introduces to us these words, these proverbs. And we'll see this introduced to us in three headings, which I'll indicate as we go through. And the first heading is simply this: entering the king's discussion. Entering the king's discussion. As I've said, Proverbs, these opening chapters could be seen like that theology conference you go to on this place, the Pathway of Wisdom. And what do you get when you go to a conference? You get a brochure, and on the inside page, usually, there's some information about who is the speaker. And maybe you push yourself or don't allow yourself the time and all the busyness at a conference to read all the information about the speaker's children and his favorite dogs and so on. But if we miss Proverbs 1:1, we'll miss the book. If you miss Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, you'll miss the book of Genesis. If you miss Proverbs 1:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, you'll miss the book of Proverbs. What do we mean by that? Well, who is Solomon? He's king of Israel. We find in 1 Kings chapter 4 that as king of Israel, he had a court of sages around him, and as sages or as wise guides, they would write proverbs. But Solomon is the sage of the sages. He's the wisest. And the book of Proverbs is his collection of wisdom. And there are others that contribute. We have evidence of that later in the book of Proverbs. But these are words that have Solomon's stamp of approval, and in many cases we trust are indeed Solomon's words given to us. Indeed, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. Now, who is Solomon? What's the purpose of Solomon's life? Is he just the guru on the mountain? Climb the mountain, ask for wisdom. He turns to a page in the book of Proverbs, offers it to you, and sends you back down. Well, if we read the life of Solomon, that is not why Solomon was king. Solomon was king not simply for a wise purpose, but for wisdom that would move to a redemptive purpose. Wisdom toward a redemptive purpose. 2 Chronicles 2, verse 12, as Solomon's building the temple, Hiram, a foreign king, says this: "Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, who made heaven and earth, who has given King David a wise son, who has discretion and understanding." Why? "Who will build a temple for the Lord." The history of Solomon's life reveals two great realities, but perhaps it's one. One, Solomon's wise. Two, Solomon's building a temple. But we see in Hiram's speech there, Solomon is the wise king to build the temple. The wise king to build up the house of God. Solomon is not a guru. Solomon is not there for your coffee mug or your catchy tweets. Solomon is there to lead the people into the obedience of faith that surrounded the temple. And this simple reality, which perhaps just seems so basic, is actually what invites you to come and hear the book of Proverbs. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? You are the temple of the living God. And as God has established His temple, He has established His temple in wisdom. And the way of the people that have received His redemption, that have been established as the temple of God, their way, the pathway of their life, indeed, is outlined for us by King Solomon. And this is actually where Proverbs is a very unique book. In the ancient Near Eastern literature, there are actually many cultures that had words of sayings, proverbial books, if you will. What's fascinating about them is that they are almost to a T, every single one, directed to an individual person, usually one person who would come and reign as the king in that land. And the idea was this: knowledge is power. Don't give the wisdom to the people. Give the wisdom to one so that the kingly dynasty could carry on. The book of Proverbs doesn't have that address. Verse 1 doesn't have that address. It simply says, these are the Proverbs, and these are Proverbs that are given to the people of God to grow in wisdom. The wisdom of God is for the people of God who dwell as the temple of God. Now, it's at this point, or perhaps already in some of your minds, that some of us get uncomfortable at who it is that is teaching us the way of wisdom. Solomon. And perhaps you think getting wisdom from Solomon would be like about as proper and wise as it would be to get cooking lessons from me, your pastor. You know, couldn't we do a little bit better than the guy who had 700 wives and 300 concubines? Couldn't we do better than this guy's wisdom? And maybe some of us say, you know, there's a lot of books of wisdom. I can go on Amazon and find books of wisdom that were not written by people who had 700 wives. And you can. But this is actually where the mystery of Proverbs begins to be unlocked to us. 2 Samuel 7. David is promised a son who will come and build the temple and build the kingdom. And that son, at first glance, that son comes and he does it. Solomon comes and he builds the temple. And he's the wise son who builds the temple and he gives the words of wisdom for a people whose life surrounds the temple. But if you've read 2 Samuel 7, my guess is you've had a different son in mind as you've read those words. Solomon's temple was destroyed. Solomon failed to live up to his own words of wisdom. But Solomon's temple and Solomon's failure to live up to his own words of wisdom gives way to the Son of David that still reigns. The Son of David has come and has rebuilt the temple of God through his resurrection, through the pouring out of the Spirit, and we are the temple. And that Son of David is full of the inspired words and life of wisdom. And because this is the inspired Word of God, you have before you the inspired words of the King, the Son of David. The Lord Jesus himself speaks to us through the book of Proverbs. Matthew 13, 35, Jesus is speaking his parables, artistic instructions, to use that phrase we used earlier. And these parables, it says, fulfill the prophet. Psalm 78, I will open my mouth in parables. Parables. You go to Psalm 78 in the Hebrew, mashal, the same word of Proverbs 1:1. Jesus opens his mouth in Proverbs. That's not just a play on words or a game to get us to Christ here. Jesus opens his mouth in the words of wisdom that lead us to life. And the blessing that you have, that we have as a church, is we can listen to the words of the King, the Son of David, in opening to us the way of life. And it's important that we see that. What you expect from Proverbs, what you look for from Proverbs, is likely what you'll get from Proverbs. If you think Proverbs are just some sayings to get you ahead in life, you may get ahead in life on a few matters, but you won't get the point of Proverbs. If you think that Proverbs is worldly wisdom, you know, the best the world has to offer, a scattered counseling reference manual for various issues in life, you'll get a scattered counseling reference manual for various issues in life. But you won't get the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is divine truth from the Son of David to show the pathway of life. We listen to our King as he speaks to us in this book. This is the discussion. Christ himself, lecturing, speaking to us sermons of life. And as we enter this discussion, secondly, we must be found discovering the King's aim. Discovering the aim of our King. And in many ways, we've already said it. What is the aim of the King? Verse 2, look, first of all, just at the opening words of verses 2, 3, and 4. To know, to receive, to give. Solomon the King here has lived a life where it's in the writing of Proverbs itself, knowing, receiving, and giving. And then he is giving words to us that we may live a life of knowing, receiving, and giving. And what is it that we are found knowing, receiving, and giving? What's summarized in that word that we all attach to the book of Proverbs, and it's right there, right at the start of verse 2, wisdom. Wisdom. And wisdom, that concept of wisdom floods the passage. Word after word after word is giving us the range of meaning of the idea of wisdom. Wisdom, instruction, insight, wise dealing, prudence, knowledge, discretion. It's overwhelming by the time you get to it. All these words that are speaking to us, that are framing for us the way of the wise. Now, some of us may be tempted at this point to think that the only way to understand this is we have to slowly each word get a separate definition and then begin to live our life. You know, I'm walking down this street, I need instruction. I'm walking down this street, I need prudence. And, you know, each individual word. Well, just imagine. Imagine if I'm a cross-country coach. And before the big race, I'm talking to the team and I'm giving them their motivational speech. Run the race, press on to the finish line, keep your stride, strive to the end, pursue the finish line, win the race, and on and on. And imagine the kid in the back raising his hand and saying, slow down, coach. That's a lot of words. I need to be able to know the difference between what you meant by strive and run and press on and get to the finish line. I won't be able to understand your speech until I can just go dictionary by dictionary. What does the coach say? We're trying to win the race. We're trying to press on. And what Proverbs here is saying is this is the whole of a life of wisdom. And there's value in knowing each of these words. And actually, as we go through Proverbs, different places will highlight a different feature of wisdom. We'll hone in on prudence. We'll hone in on instruction. But at this point, the idea is this. God is paving for you the way of comprehensive wisdom. A comprehensive life of wisdom as the redeemed people of God. We could define it in this way, define wisdom in this way. Knowledge and skill to live competently in God's created world. Knowledge and skill to live competently in God's created world. And we'll expand or perhaps build on that definition as we move through Proverbs. But at this point, this is the big idea. Be flooded with this idea. A way of knowledge, a way of wisdom is put out before you. But there's one factor at this point you positively cannot miss. As you consider, what is this way of wisdom? Look back at verse 3. What kind of wisdom are we looking for? To receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity. The way of wisdom is the way of wisdom that shapes you in righteousness, justice, and equity. And this is critical for us. Biblical wisdom is not simply the capacity to navigate the back streets and get home in rush hour traffic. Biblical wisdom is not the capacity to coupon your way to unbelievable savings or the capacity to run a business. Those things can be done wisely. They must be done wisely. And Proverbs may even lead us into thinking about those things. But biblical wisdom is living competently in God's created world, in righteousness, justice, and equity. And why is this biblical wisdom? It's biblical wisdom because this is kingly wisdom. In 2 Samuel 8, David is described as living in justice and righteousness. 2 Chronicles 9, Solomon, justice and righteousness. Solomon is laying out for us the way of wisdom that guides the king. The way of wisdom that guides the king. And why is it this? Why are it these ideas, righteousness, living rightly before God and with his law, justice and equity, particularly thinking of our dealings with fellow man? Why knowledge, righteousness, justice, or righteousness, justice, and equity? This is kingly wisdom. That is the king's wisdom. Psalm 99, speaking of our Lord, King of might and power, he whose strength loves justice, equity you have established. In the midst of Jacob, you have executed perfect righteousness and justice. You see what Solomon's calling for here? A life of kingly wisdom that imitates and reflects God himself, who is the king of righteousness, the king of justice, and the king of equity. And as we see this, as we see that Proverbs raises the bar as to what the life of wisdom is, it's where Proverbs gets a little scary, or perhaps just unattainable. You think, you know, actually, I just need sort of that basic wisdom, let alone the big things. You know, I'm the guy that couldn't find my keys for an hour as I was trying to get to church this morning. You know, that's my problem, right? How will I ever get to righteousness, justice, and equity? Or you think, you know, I'm just trying to figure out how to live my life and have dinner done by 6 and the house cleaned, and that's the wisdom I need. How could I possibly have a life of righteousness, justice, and equity amidst it all? Proverbs here is exposing to us our incredible need for a wisdom that presses past the practical to the wisdom that God gives us in Christ. Just one word to illustrate our desperate need for what's going on here. Verse 3, to receive instruction in wise dealing. And those two words, wise dealing, it's one Hebrew word that refers to just, as it says, the dealings of life, dealing with life in a wise way. And here's what's fascinating. In Genesis chapter 3, Eve looks at the fruit and sees that it's desirable to make one wise. That word, wise dealing. She is seeking the way of wisdom. And the irony of ironies, she loses it and loses all righteousness, justice, and equity, not only for her, but for all her posterity, Adam and Eve's posterity down to you and me. And suddenly we realize, as we're just entering into Proverbs, that we have a problem that's much greater than not having enough tips to get through life. We've got a sons and daughters of Eve problem. We've got a knowledge, justice, righteousness, and equity problem. Have we failed to heed the words of instruction, verse 2 of Scripture, toward living a life in righteousness and justice? Have we failed to walk with discretion, verse 4, properly discerning good and evil and the situations in front of us? Verse 5, have we not obtained guidance? Guidance there, a word for literally steering a ship, steering our ship down peaceful waters. And the Word of God calls us into a life of this kind of guidance. Haven't we chosen the rocky water? You see, what Solomon presents here is a way of the wisdom of the king. And as he presents it, it presents the need that you and I face. We may be simple, verse 4. We may be youths, verse 4, simply longing to hear of wisdom. We may be the wise. We may be those, verse 5, who seem to already be walking in wisdom. What do we need? What do we need? We need the way of wisdom. The way to begin to walk in wisdom paved out for us. That's what Proverbs is aiming at. Where do we begin to find the solution? Verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Leading us thirdly and finally, simply from moving from answering or understanding the king's aim to learning the king's beginning. Learning the beginning points of our king. Where do we start on the way of wisdom? Again, thinking, comparing Proverbs to ancient books that would have given wisdom. Many books with sayings, many books with riddles, none that present the truth of verse 7. None that presents a personal God that we know and fear as the way to wisdom. Solomon, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's not just ancient books that struggle with this reality. Today, high school students, I believe, you are learning a philosophy still impacting our culture today that say there is no access to true spiritual wisdom. Adult Sunday school class, dealing with doubt, dealing with the struggle. How do we find our way to knowledge? And listen, if you're struggling with that question this morning, how do we get access to the wisdom and the truth of God? Let verse 7 speak to you with love and power and joy. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The Lord paves for us a way of knowledge that's not dependent on my capacity to work my way toward knowledge, but that is built on the Lord coming and showing himself to us in the person of Christ, and we see him and we fear. This is the message of all of Proverbs. Proverbs 1, verse 7. You get to the end of the first section of Proverbs. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You go to the end of Proverbs. Proverbs 31, second to last verse of Proverbs. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Proverbs presents the pathway to knowledge as fundamentally the pathway of the fear of the Lord. And what do we mean it's the beginning of knowledge? You might think, well, beginning, that's like the first thing in line. You know, you go through the theological or the way of life buffet, you pick up a little knowledge here, you pick up the fear of the Lord here, you know, you pick up some good ideas here, you pick up some things there, and you got your plate. And we came to the fear of the Lord first in line. Not quite. You might say, well, the beginning point would mean that the fear of the Lord is the most important thing. Fear of the Lord gets you 10 wisdom points. Business acumen gets you 5 wisdom points, you know, and on down the list. Not quite. The idea of beginning here is fundamental reality that pervades all of the life of knowledge. One commentator describes it as comparing it to the letters of the alphabet for words or notes for a musical score. There's no musical score if there are no notes. You're not writing any letters to your friend if there are no letters of the alphabet. And there's no path to knowledge that is not pervaded by the fear of the Lord. And this is because the Lord has come. And like Thomas falling down at the feet of the risen Jesus when he saw the hands, the holes in the hands, we can fall at the face of the Lord and fear. There is indeed a way to knowledge. There is indeed to begin with knowledge. There is indeed a way to begin this pathway of life. We're not hopeless. We're not stuck on the other side. famous songwriter, once wrote describing his own or a friend's experience, talking about, I'm just around the corner from anything that would be real. You know, I'm across the road from what would be hope. And the whole idea of what he was writing was this: I can't get to knowledge. I can't get to knowledge. And maybe I'll take a step here and there. I can't get there. And the Lord comes in the person of Christ and leads us to fear his name and be found on that pathway. And fear here, it's not a dreadful thing, but a wonderful thing. This is not the fear that says, if I blink, God will strike me down. It's a 1 Kings 8, 41-43 fear. We're not going to read all of 1 Kings 8, 41-43, but here's Solomon. He's at that temple. He's at that temple, and he's speaking of what? Foreigners coming to worship. People like you and me that hear of the mighty acts of God, Solomon says, and they bow down and they plead with God for salvation, and he hears their cry, and they fear his name. You this morning can find the way of wisdom on the pathway of fear. To stand in awe, that kind of fear, that the Lord of his mighty acts of redemption, culminating in the cross and the resurrection and the ascension of Christ, that Lord will hear your cries, and then he will display his power and his greatness, and you can fear the Lord you know. Fear is the awe, the devotion, the wonder, the faith, the worship that comes when those who lack wisdom receive the grace of their King. And all this leads us to is to say, I want to know the way of wisdom. I want to know the Lord's way of fear. What do we do? There's really one imperative in the passage. Verse 5, let the wise hear. We have verse 7, fear. What do? Hear and fear. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Can you hear it? There's no way to righteousness. There's no way to justice. There's no way to wisdom apart from Christ, the wisdom of God. Can you hear it? That to shrug and say, I don't need that wisdom, is to be a fool. Verse 7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Do not run from the way of wisdom. Hear and fear. Can you hear it? The passage paves for you. The book paves for you. The pathway of a life of wisdom before your King. Practical application. Immerse yourself in the book of Proverbs. Read Proverbs 1 through 9. See the argument. See the heart of it. God leads us. My prayer is God, even as we work through this, would be leading us into the way of the righteous that shines brighter and brighter until full day on the pathway of the fear of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, give us a godly fear. A godly fear that would say we don't have the way of wisdom on our own, but through the person of Christ, we stand in awe that you give to us these words. Grant us your strength, we pray. Grant us your wisdom, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.